and a continuation of the visit on this second reel and continuation of the visit with Marvin and Ms. Guthrie this Saturday night, the 13th of November, 71. Channel 1 Right on a new reel and continuation of the visit with Ms. Guthrie and Marvin this Saturday night, 13th of November, 71.
Well, we're supposed to be on one party, but or two party with us, just us and another one, but I've yet got to use the phone and find the other party on it.
Well, that's lucky.
I mean, you know, lately now, when they was first putting the phone through there, they had us hooked up with about everybody at Cross Creek.
Yeah.
I mean, there's about four or five parties on one line. Yeah. Well, that was just a mix-up.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, they got that straightened out. And
yeah. Well, this North Florida service is pretty, I guess they do the best they can, but it's not like the Southern.
Yeah, I hear it's not. And,
they said they're going to put some more cable in.
It used to be pretty high, and you didn't have any calls. I understand you can call Ocala now.
Yeah. Suzanne was telling me today that Clara Collins died.
Yeah.
But where was she living?
She was in Gainesville.
She was? Mm-hmm.
She was in Tallahassee when she died, but she was up there in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they buried her back here.
We came by there one evening, and Marvin said, oh, they having a funeral out yonder. I didn't notice. I didn't look that way. And I said, they are? And he said, yeah, there's just lots of cars out there. And I wondered who it could have been. I was afraid it might have been Miss Johnson.
No, let's see. When was it? It was last week. Maybe Tuesday or Thursday.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. 2:00. Big crowd. From all over. Did you know the college?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh. You see, we didn't know Mr. or Miss Collins either. She grew flowers. She grew vegetables. Is that somebody said?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what did you all do? Of course, when you got extra hands, that's a different matter. But now, you see, I just want to run a one-man place over here. And the reason I got this thing on is I got the pleurisy.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
you got to start the cool wind.
Yeah, I do. And I have it every now and then.
So?
And I can get along all right. I can lean up against the stove, you see. Mm-hmm. Put a hot pad or something on it and get over it. Can't lift a sack of feed.
Well, that's a hurting thing. I reckon that I had it. I had something. Somebody said that's what it was, but I felt like I had about 3 cracked ribs. And I knew that nobody'd hit me, and I knew I hadn't got a lick in there. Yeah,
well,
right in there. Boy,
it just
it was in my right side where it was.
Right under that wing there.
Yeah.
That's where it goes, and it seems to just go back and forth in there.
That acts like my disease.
Boy, that thing just about killed me. I walk like this in, you know.
Uh-huh.
I bent over on the side. Of course, I didn't give up with it. I kept moving.
You keep moving, and that's my recollection. You ask them, what relief is it, and they don't seem to hear you. And you just go along with it, and first thing you know, you can pick up a sack of feed again.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't go to the doctor with this. I just figured if it got worse, I'd have to, and that's about the way it was. And it didn't get any worse, but it taken it and just went to bed one night and got up the next morning. It wasn't there anymore, so it's about the way it worked.
Well, that's the way you'd like for yours to do.
Well, see, all I've got to do now is just... I can catch up with my talking or my visiting or my reading or whatever it is. No use going outside.
No.
You know, it takes more vigor to ride a tractor than a fellow to think.
It does. It sure does.
Now, I can't any more ride that tractor with this than a spook. I got to look around. Every time I look around, it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't pull. Every time I pull, it hurts.
So you see, you sort of call it. You can't sell the place, but it won't do any good to sell it.
That's right.
You said y'all had coasted around out there on Orange Lake on your boat?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I've never done that. How does it feel, just coast around out there where you put used to fence and do one thing or another?
It's wonderful. Last Saturday was a week ago. We went to the river, Swanee River, and we rode up and down.
Oh, we had just got back when y'all come by the house. That's right, y'all. We just got back then, I believe.
We would have went somewhere today, but we had to build a fence, and I had to go to the doctor.
Today.
Today, I had to go over there this morning.
No.
I'll bet you go tomorrow.
No, ma'am,
no,
I don't think so.
He's
got some yearlings shut up in the pen that he's got to haul to the house.
I'm going to try something. I tried it for the past 2 years, and we've made a little bit of money. Got some yearlings I'm going to feed them out. Now, I need to wean them off the cattle anyway. They're not very large. And,
this time of year, they won't do good on
no.
the cows.
No. So I thought I'd take them off and feed them and then cull them after we get through feeding. Just cull and keep the best and let the rest of them go.
Got an old grandma cow, and she's got a white Charlie calf.
Don't kill
her. Bought 4 tons of corn this week, ground corn.
Feed them out.
You know, that stuff is high, but it's not as high as it was last year. $52, I think.
Well, up in the country, it's selling $1.10 a bushel out of the field. We had some this year, but fortunately we didn't have much up there. The ones that put that in this year up the country, I don't understand that. The government, you see, advised them to do it, and then after they did it, you see, they just let them take the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't any blight to speak of. With all they give away, all that foreign aid
mm-hmm.
stuff, and why some of that couldn't have picked up the corn price.
Yeah, I see it.
I just don't understand.
Well, somebody told him that the cow prices had gone to nothing.
Yeah,
last week,
you say that.
I've been trying to get a hold of Angelita to find out, but I can't find her. She ain't never home. I call her and she's not there. I wanted to ask her. You know, she's the auctioneer.
Well, she's a Wednesday auctioneer, and she's secretary there. On Mondays, and then she's the auctioneer on Wednesdays, I guess.
Well, I didn't know that.
I can't even find her.
Mm-hmm.
I call her home, but...
Is that down Marion County?
No, this
no,
is in Gainesville.
Oh, Gainesville.
Thompson. Martin.
You can't get her to relax on her?
I probably could. On weekdays, weekdays.
But I'd rather call her at her home and talk to her.
She can tell you more at her home. She can... talk free there, At that market, she don't know who's listening.
Yeah. Well, now, you've known her?
Oh, yeah, I've
known her ever since
she
was
live at Cross Creek.
No, she's not much higher than that now.
Is that right?
Her daddy used to own the Glisten place. That's where she used to live.
Glisten's. Place her daddy owned that.
Oh, that's the one you told me about.
That's the one.
The two of them up there.
Uh-huh.
And she's one of them.
That's right.
Well, what do you know? What's her name?
Angelita.
Heyman.
Heyman.
Hoyt Heyman was her daddy.
Yeah.
And he used to come home on Sunday morning before he even thought about
just
getting up, just raising the devil.
He wasn't drunk. He didn't drink.
No, you weren't drinking.
No, he don't
he
drink.
Was
he
just out
drink.
Riding around having a big time.
He'd come in
4
o'clock in the morning and make you get up, make him a cup of coffee or something like that, or bring you the paper. That was his long suit. Wait till the paper run. It'd run about 5 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning or Christmas.
He was a character as there ever was.
And he'd go by the box and get your paper for
never
you.
Seen a dumb wait minute you. In his life. Didn't seem
no.
Yeah.
Toy Hammond, that was Angelita's daddy.
Is that right? Well, now, did she know about him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She was grown when he...
When he died.
He died.
He been dead too long. He just went like that.
Yeah.
He was working. He was a plumber out at the university.
Oh, yeah.
He died. He died on the job. Had a heart attack.
That's the best way to die.
And he used to say, you know, he's just the most fun. He said he was going to swap his old lady off for an old dog, and then he was going to kill the dog.
He said he tried everywhere in the world he could to get rid of, and he said he could. He called me, Bo. He said, Bo, he said, you know what I'm going to do? No, I don't know, Hoyt. What you going to do? He said, I'm going to swap her for a dog and kill the dog. He says that's the only way to get rid of him. And just, he wouldn't have taken $1,000 for her. I mean, money couldn't have bought it from him, but he just...
Uh-huh.
Just that kind,
just
you know.
Just had to have something to say.
Yes.
Well, I was glad. So you've been knowing her a long time?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
well,
that was now. That was back in the what we call the Hoover days, too, you know. And I know Hoyt.
Yeah.
And we'd go by, me and him, they were riding. He had an old Buick. Wasn't able to put a tag on the back of it. We'd get us a bag of moss or a sack of moss or something and borrow the tag plates, you know, like we was hauling moss, or get us some, go by the packing house and get some of them small Irish potatoes and wire them up and back of it. Law didn't know whether you had a tag or never did stop you to find out. just go ahead.
Well, the law had a different attitude.
Yeah, then.
Yeah, especially when you're off the main drive.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't quite get that. He'd come home at 3 in the morning?
Yeah,
yeah,
come to the house
three.
Before we'd ever get up and just...
Your house!
Yeah,
raise
sure.
the devil and make every one of us get up out of bed and bless us out for being so lazy.
Yeah.
And it was time to cook breakfast. And
especially if it was cold. If it was good and cold, that's when he wanted to get
you. Yeah. And he'd do that.
He'd do it.
He'd come by the house, he'd stop and go to Cross Creek. And he was a little short,
yeah,
stout
little
guy.
Like her.
Yeah.
Like her.
That's right.
I don't know that I've ever heard of anything like that, or at least recently.
Well, he sure was.
Yes,
and
he was just out?
Just out, just visiting around.
And wasn't drunk enough.
No, he didn't drink. That's one thing.
He just had a big chew tobacco.
He did chew tobacco, but
he
didn't
had
drink.
A big chew tobacco. Oh, and Hammond didn't drink.
Yeah.
4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, ma'am.
And he'd come up
and come in and make us get up out of bed.
And come in.
And Billy Foss about being so lazy.
Sleeping so late in the morning.
Yeah.
And one.
And you'd get out.
Yeah.
It'd be on Sunday or Christmas. Christmas is when he liked to come the most.
And you know we miss him.
We sure do. He was a good guy. Old Hoyt was just a good fella.
Yeah.
And he come by the... I never forget this. He owned cow hammocks.
Yeah.
Cross.
And I happened to go down to the mailbox. And he happened along... And he bought him an old white-faced bull. And he had to stop and show me his bull. And he says, he's got a pedigree this long. And I said, what a bull. And he got mad. He said, you go to hell. And I never said a word in the world, only I just said, what a bull.
Well, what am I going to say?
Yeah.
come by your house.
No, he can't. No, he didn't come by my house. I was at the mailbox, and he come along the road with a bull, carrying the bull, a cow hammock, and he had to stop.
Well, where was the mailbox?
Where it is now.
Right where it is now.
You know where our mailbox is.
And he had to stop and show me his bull, and he said he's got pedigree this long, and I said, what a bull. And he said, you go to hell. He got in the truck and he left. He said I didn't have business.
You mean your mailbox still down there?
Yeah.
Right at the end of the road, you know, as you approach the Cross Creek Road, there's a mailbox just across the road. That's it.
Well,
gee,
you have. Well, you can drive around there. You're out the wall.
Yeah. It's just a quarter.
Good Lord.
What you doing way down there?
Well, you know our mailbox is down there on the road. You know.
I didn't realize it.
Yeah.
We have to go way down there to the
road.
We
don't have a right by the house.
I see. Yeah. Well,
we're on Hawthorne. We're on Hawthorne.
Yeah.
I see they got a route now going in by the Geigers.
Yeah. Wonder where it goes.
I don't know. It must come from Evanston and back into Macon.
I see the man that bought the Geiger place has got his mailbox up there at Mr. Geiger's.
Yeah. The Geiger's still there?
I guess so.
He was yesterday. His car was there.
Well, sure. I never seen him, but I'm sorry they're leaving.
I am too. I'm sorry they're leaving us. I hate to see them go.
But they're not, they haven't been there long. You knew them, though, when they were down there at,
No, Citra? Uh-huh. No, sir.
I had seen them several times, but know them, I didn't know them too good. I
didn't know them.
Well,
I'd been in the store a couple of times.
You saw them pretty often, though, didn't you? You knew them pretty well.
Who's that?
The guy that...
Well, not till he moved over here.
He had that little shanty store, the impression I get, and most of his trade was niggers.
Well, he had quite a bit of trade. I tell you about him. He told me since he come out of there, I didn't realize it at the time. He said that if you went in his store and called for something, he didn't have it.
Yeah.
Next time you went back, it was there.
Yeah.
Because he'd set it down and get it.
Oh.
I mean, you know. If a customer called for something, well, somebody else might want that same thing. He might not come back anymore, but somebody else might.
Yeah.
And he made sure that he had it.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, he said that's what drove his trade more than anything else, was trying to please the customers or have what they wanted.
Yeah. Oh, that would make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Weaver was over here one night, and he was trying to get a little of, what is it, patent medicine. That's the name of it. And Hendricks used to keep it for him.
Mm-hmm.
And had, apparently several people bought it. But this man wouldn't. And I asked him, Red Wilson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he remembered it naturally. Well, he said he couldn't buy just one. He'd have to buy a dozen. And he said, Mr. Weaver's the only one that asked for it. Well, you got to buy a dozen of those things and tie up your money.
Mm-hmm.
Weaver won't buy one every 2 years.
Wonder what
That's
kind
right.
of medicine it was.
It was something for the for his stomach, for the...
Oh, for he said.
He didn't get it in town.
Get it in town. But that'd hurt you if you had to buy a dozen, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And just leave it on your shelf.
Mm-hmm.
And take inventory. I guess he took inventory too.
I might.
Storekeepers have taken inventory for a long time.
Sure. sure hate to have to take inventory for some of these stores. It's got so much stuff in them.
And it is true. The old dime stores.
They brought word, I think it's Faye, about the homecoming. I don't know what got into me, but I never could even get
we didn't go
close to it. And I hope that you got there.
No, I didn't go. They said there was a big crowd there.
Well, I'll bet they missed your cake and all that food.
Well, I hope they did.
Well, you know they did.
I hope they did.
I wanted to see that new preacher. Miss, I forget her name, Miss Hope, what's her name?
Bessie.
Bessie Hope. Miss Bessie's preaching.
Well, he just sure can't preach.
He talks too long.
What
do you know? Well, it wouldn't be so bad if, you know, you're sitting there listening to one man. If you could say something once in a while, why, it'd kind of help pass away the time. But
yeah.
And what he says, he has it wrote down.
I think it does a person more harm, actually, if he goes to church or something.
Of course, they said Charlie Rogers preached the homecoming sermon, the one that preached the day that you was there.
Yeah.
If he goes to church, and the preacher preaches over 15 minutes or something like that, you know, and you get tired and you get to moving about and you wish you'd get through preaching so you could get up.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think it does you more harm than it does good to even go.
Yeah.
If you is more or less interesting to where you could they stretched attention to him and wanted more of it, well, that'd be all right. And I think 15 minutes of his preaching would be all right.
Well,
let
rest
of it.
That's a lot of preaching for anybody.
Yeah.
There's been a number of preachers that bored me to death. But now, Rogers, I could just sit there and listen to him an hour.
Well, Rogers is more or less interesting.
Now over there at Windsor, they've got this little preacher, and they don't think too well of him. You know, they don't think he's much preacher. I heard him preach. I just loved the way he preached. I could just sit there.
At Windsor.
Yeah.
Which is that? That you mean Methodist?
Baptist.
I don't know him.
Yeah, his name, I think it's Cherry. Would it be Cherry?
Anyhow.
And, now they used to have one over here, Carmack. He's on this Methodist circuit. And he just would drive me crazy. It wasn't what he said, it was that voice of his.
Mm-hmm.
He would get up there and his neck would swirl, you see, and it seemed like it was, he talked loud and no difficulty in hearing him, but all of his words were just like
mangled all
somebody
up.
Else.
Yes.
And if a man talks long easy, I remember.
Well, do you know Russell Woodard making up there? He's a troubleshooter for the REA.
Oh, I know who he is, yes.
Well, he's preaching in Island Grove. And they say he is a good preacher.
Yeah.
He just become a preacher in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Used to find him in bars drinking beer. I don't think he ever drank too strong a drink or anything more than beer or something like that. And I don't think he bothers that anymore, but he preaches every Sunday in Island Grove.
Yeah. Let's go here.
You know, I've been threatening to. But they say he can natural wake you up.
Mr. Weaver, that did our bulldozing for us, he lives over at Citra.
Yeah.
And he never would go with his wife to church. And he just, I don't say he was a mean man or done anything wrong or anything like that, but he'd lie out at, you know, and drink.
Fox hunt.
Fox hunt my foot. He'd be drinking at some bar or another. And his wife got tired of it here not long ago. So she took her little boy and she walks into the bar and she sat down and she ordered her a drink. And she sat over there on the other table and she drank, and I don't know whether she got drunk or not. But she might have did, but she didn't tell me that part of it. And I think he kind of got a change of himself. So, he quit that, and he's going to church with her, and he has joined the church. And Mr. Weaver, I believe, is a good man, but he just had that failing, you know. He didn't believe in preachers, he didn't get nothing about the church, and he was at home one day, and he brought Marvin a can of beer, and they were sitting at the table drinking beer. And what was it he said about his wife? Something or other about she tried to boss him.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, that's what she's supposed to do. I said, we're supposed to boss you all. If we didn't, why, what would become of you men folks? And he, damn sure wasn't going to have no woman bossing him. And next time I seen him, he was a changed man.
She hears the most extraordinary things, don't she? Now, when he is clearing out your woods over there, you knew that?
No, that didn't happen. He weren't going to church then. I heard
he's
that...
He's going to the bar, is that?
That's right.
And you knew that?
Yes, sir, I knew that. Because I seen him. Me and Martin's been at
the... Yeah, I used to see him.
Seen him at the bars of drinking.
Whereabouts would you see him?
At Citra. Well, I heard that he had joined the church, and I said, well, good. And so one night, him and Ms. Weaver come over, and when she left out, I whispered to her, and I said, let me ask you something. And she said, okay. And I asked, and she said, that's right. She said, that's right. And she said that he asked her, said, what did she ask you? And said, she asked me, was you going to church? And said, well, I wonder how she found that out. And he's after me and Marvin to go to church.
He wants us to come over there.
Yeah, he said that he was really a preacher.
But I've heard more than one say that Russell could still preach.
Mr. Weaver's a good man. I like him very much, and his wife.
But all that bulldozing, and he was just as reliable, you wouldn't have to keep time on him.
No, sir.
No, that's one thing you don't do is keep time on Joe Weaver.
He didn't think anything that he was doing wrong. He was just to stand away
well,
from
that
his
wasn't
wife
a...
and his home, and he was drinking, and she wanted him home with her, and I guess she figured, well, now's the time to put a stop to
it. He didn't drink on the job.
So she said that she just went in and she sat down and she ordered her and said she drank it and said she ordered her another one. And she might have got dog drunk for all I know. Now, she didn't tell me whether she did or not, but she said that put a stop to it.
He's going to drink, she would too.
Yeah.
Well,
she
it was
said,
on the fair, I guess.
She said that she was just going to show him just how it looked. And said that he told her that he would never do it no more.
But he'd make the money. He'd keep him busy all the time, wasn't he?
You might have right. He passed the house the other day. He stopped to see
lucky.
Us. And he was on his way to collect $3,600 that morning. I said, well, you stop back by here when you get it.
Mm-hmm. Joe is hard to get. You have to.
He's a good man. They just ain't no use in talking. But then.
Him by appointments anymore.
Yeah.
6 to 8 months ahead.
Is
that?
Wasn't the doctors.
Good yeah. As many bulldozers as, and operators as there are, and you've got to.
Yeah, yeah.
And he makes a good bit when he works.
And he don't get that. You know, the thing that kills it all off, a man gets a bulldozer or a little machinery and starts operating and does pretty good, and then he figures he's too good to set on it himself.
That's right.
And that's a whine.
That's right. But you take...
And as much money as he is in that, and then they can lose easy.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody run that burn thing and switch and knock out
sure.
the radiator,
it
and it's out of whack for 2 weeks.
But, and you take 9 of them out of 10, that if you're not watching them, they're not giving you the right time. I mean, they'll charge you for time that they don't put in.
You all had a miserable time.
Oh, my goodness, that other one, yes. If we'd have had Joe Weaver over there, well, he'd have knocked that whole corner out of there.
How you like my teeth?
Oh, guys, this guy hadn't even known. Where'd you get those?
Where did I get them?
Yeah.
I got them in Hawthorne.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
What you got?
Teeth. She got some new teeth.
I hadn't, you know, now that's how much I noticed too. I thought
so. What was wrong with the old one?
They wore out.
Oh, did they?
Mm-hmm.
They cut too many steaks well.
They wore out.
They do wear out.
Yes, sir.
They just look like natural teeth to me.
Well, you know that.
They do to me.
I can't tell the difference. I thought I didn't know that you had a plate.
You
No.
I didn't either.
Never occurred to me. Either.
I still don't know.
Well, Julia Townsend had to him fix her some. She had these full, and I was clever just as
much.
And you know, when I had Dr. Marchand, he fixed them the first time. But this dentist, he I declare, he just beats all.
Is it Hawthorne?
Mm-hmm.
Matthews.
Dr. Matthews.
I didn't even know that a dentist
was
that
wholesome.
Yeah.
Well, they, as I say, I didn't know you had a plate at all. And they certainly don't. It doesn't look like. They look like anybody.
Now, I got to go back to him because my bottom plate is just a little bit too large. If I'm not careful, they'll fly up, you know. And I got to go back. He told me, he said, yesterday when he put them in, he said, if they pinch or they hurt or you ache or anything, he says, call me immediately and come in. He said, I don't know about it. But my top ones is just like, I can't tell even false.
I always understood that the top ones was easier to fit than the lower ones.
Well, these in here it seems to be too wide.
Oh. Well, I got something new.
Oh, you sure have. Well, what you?
And that's the only chewing surface I've got. Right there, that one too. You know what? I didn't have a choice. $110.
Hmm.
Well, mine cost me $200.
I know,
but
that's just one too.
Mm-hmm, that's
you
one
mean
two.
One too?
Uh-huh.
One two.
You had to have a crown.
Crown. You know, the most trouble that I ever had in my life was a tooth. I had it crowned.
Yeah.
And it abscessed.
Yeah.
This is what I'm always doing.
I wouldn't let nobody crown a tooth for me.
And then the same man pulled it and kept the crown.
Sure did.
After she'd done paid for it.
I had 4 abscesses. Oh, my God. And this fellow was down here at Orange Lake that done that.
He had a gold crown put on it. And
that's right.
Well, he He wasn't a dentist anyway, was he?
Yeah, he was a dentist.
I thought he filed horse teeth, horse's teeth. And
he was a dentist.
I never had a crown. I used to have a bridge. But after I spent a couple of years in China living on water buffalo, I didn't have any teeth left. Doesn't put a bridge on.
Well, I got a cousin that's been at Vietnam twice. He went over there and served in the army, and then he went back over there and he worked. And he said that if he ever had him a set of teeth made, he was going to Vietnam. He said that they made them out of solid gold.
I don't think I want no gold teeth, not all of them.
That's what
you
he
couldn't
said.
Open your mouth, it'd be too heavy.
He said
gold's
no.
Heavy.
You heard him tell it.
I heard him tell it, but that's the gold's heavy. Okay.
Solid gold.
Solid gold, never wear out.
But who wants a gold teeth?
Somebody killed you just for your teeth, wouldn't it?
You better watch out. Now, who was that?
My cousin, Russell Weeks.
And he'd been there?
Yes, he's been twice.
And seen it?
Mm-hmm. And he says he likes it.
Yes.
He likes it.
Well, what do you know?
Well, he served three years in the army over there, and then he come back, and then he went, they got with some construction company, you know, building airports and things, and he went back.
Stayed another year.
Served another year over there with them. That's as long as they let him stay, was a year.
Yeah.
And it's pretty. He likes it.
He says it does.
Well,
he's the only one I ever heard say that, but he says if he had to say,
he'd go back.
He was
making some money that last time he was over there.
Yeah, that makes a difference.
Yes, he was making some money.
You know, that's phenomenal. You know, this, over there where I was, it was, I was in the backward part. We didn't have money or nothing back there then, but we had to find a climate. It was just a mile high, and, it was mild and mild winters and mild summers.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to think if I had a choice of somewhere to live, that'd be it. But you see, even if I'd had a choice, I mean, if I had wanted to go back over and live, I could have done it.
What was you at?
In China.
In China?
Yeah. Back part of China. Over that, up there, towards the foothills of the mountains. Tibet, way back up there. And
what were you doing way back there, fighting?
We were stationed at all them little 14th Air Force landing strips. It's all over. And I went from one to another. I can just lay them out for you. And this one of them there was the main strip where they landed when they crossed the hump.
Isn't it funny how people can be so far away from home? It's one of you hadn't stayed over there. You know, that's where they said Mr. and Ms. Evans went.
Yeah. Yes, they went over in that part of the world.
Missionaries.
Yeah. Well, you see, pretty soon after we were out of there, they kicked all Americans out. And they still haven't gotten back. They sort of got a toehold, but they're not back yet.
Oh, the guy hasn't heard from his friends.
I had some good friends. And it's been 1945.
Mm-hmm.
There's no telling where they're at.
No telling. No, sir. They've really been through it.
Her
daddy was an old warlord. Reason I found that out, I was on a GI truck one time, the special services, you know, how they done, they take him out, take you out for an outing.
Mm-hmm.
And they had some of the Chinese people there, citizens, local people, go along just to explain a few things. And we went along there, and it opened up a beautiful long hill. And somebody said, "Isn't that a beautiful hill?" "Yes," this woman said. "That's where the last battle between the warlords was fought. And they got interested in that." He says, "My daddy was on one side and somebody else was on the other."
Hmm.
"And then her daddy was a warlord, and the Generalissimo had him in tow in Chongqing, house arrest, wouldn't let him leave in order to keep hold of the country.
Hmm.
And I used to go to a house there, and they had a picture of him sitting on a big white horse. He went to school in Germany. And they had some of the drawings. He would eat carrots and do that Chinese calligraphy,
mm-hmm.
you know, with his, and to do that, you know, you just quit trust the brush. And it has to be just in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
And your nerves got to be right. And that's what he did, you see, just past the time.
Mr. Miles, didn't you tell me that there was somebody at Mechanopa to draw? Paint pictures?
Paint pictures?
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
You know, when I had Mr. Guthrie's picture fixed,
yeah.
You told me about that you might have, if you knew it, you might have could have helped me out.
Yeah, it's this boy.
Well, where is he?
He's over there. He's a photographer.
You know, I want somebody to fix me a picture.
But he's one of the, this boy is one of the finest photographers.
I've seen one of the most beautiful pictures that I ever seen in my life. And it was in the Methodist Church at Waldo, and it was Christ, and you know when he went out and was kneeling and praying, and they had his robe painted a real light blue, and it looked just like a big cloud, and it, I want me one of them so bad I don't know what I'd give if I could find somebody to take me one of them.
You saw it at Waldo?
I saw it at Waldo. It was in the Methodist Church. And then since then, I read about the fellow that fixed it. He was an old fella, and I think that he's dead and gone. But it was a picture of Christ, a kneeling at the rock, a praying, and all that beautiful. Oh, it was just beautiful. I'd give anything to have one fixed like that.
You know what I'd like? I think that's one of the finest pictures that you enlarged of Mr. Guthrie on the horse. I think of that often. And it was just a snapshot.
That was a sketch.
Huh?
That was a sketch. It was a sketch and a snapshot from a sketch.
Oh, was it?
Mm-hmm. The lady that did that, she did it with a pencil.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. And then it was, I think, is a snapshot from that sketch and then enlarged from the snapshot.
Yeah. Well, what have you got over there now?
You mean that she wants to have painted? So?
Not anything. I just...
I mean, you got the picture I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And you have all that, the sketch?
No, sir.
You
no.
Just have a snapshot.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wish I had, I'd just love to have one of them myself. If I could get that flathead over there to do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'd just give anything for one of them. It's remarkable. I think it's remarkable.
You might forget to put you on.
He'd do it for you before he was me.
Why?
Oh, I know him too well. People, you know,
sometimes it makes a difference and turns out that way, doesn't it?
Do it better, do it quicker, but it changes.
You know, somebody could take a picture of that picture.
Mm-hmm. Well, they could. Yeah, they could. I think so. But it's, you know, a good topic.
We went the other night to see the church house, and it is beautiful. It's so pretty.
Since it was so wild.
It needs some more work done to it, though.
Mm-hmm.
It needs some more work done to it.
Oh, you're
that's where it's
from. It's so pretty. That panning.
So we know what you're supposed with that, yeah.
Well, we don't want to insist on you stay or anything like that, but we sure have enjoyed your visit. Sure have.
Mm-hmm.
See? Let me tell you. I'm just set underneath their light, okay, see? And they don't care where I sat, do they?
No.
Now, you see where my light's on?
I can pull your chair up then.
You can't see the bug.
That's right.
It don't hurt me to look at the light just so I don't see the bug.
He said, you know,
well, heck, we don't have to have that light turned on. We can light the.
Yeah, we got lights
in the corner.
Other
that
lights
we can,
that we could light. I don't know why we didn't think of it.
Well, we didn't know. We didn't
know.
Well,
of course,
didn't know.
Well, you're not used to such peculiar people.
With two, a detached retina in both eyes.
That's
right. Well.
But we sure appreciate you coming and seeing about us. I tell you, it makes us feel good.
Well,
sure
Suzanne said something about you had been sick or was sick. And
I said, what in the world is
so
wrong?
So we hadn't, that's the first time we'd heard it. And well, as a matter of fact, that's the first time we'd heard from you since y'all was over there that night.
We left here. Did we leave a note? I guess
We went by one afternoon and we didn't see the car, and we said we were going to go see you, and we didn't see your car, so we just didn't go in because we needed one thing.
But that don't mean that we're busy all the time or do anything important all the time. Just no count.
Well,
he ain't not by
his stuff,
but I ain't no good.
Just,
oh, you are too, just eating like a horse, you
said? Yeah, that's right. I eat like a horse and sleep like a log. I have to get up and set up at night.
Oh, you do?
I get despondent. And
you sure don't look it.
And I have to get up and set up. And think things over and go back to bed.
Now that jacket is just right. Why don't you swap her out of
that? That's an old jacket, man. That's real old.
I mean.
Well, everything's new. Look at that new. That's not old.
No, I just
got
that.
Couple months ago.
Ah,
about 3 weeks.
Those glasses?
Mm-hmm.
Well, look at that, Faye. They're nice little
glasses.
Aren't
they pretty? I sure like them.
They just. Everything just costs us too much and wear out at one
really?
Time.
Well, golly, you got some new teeth and some new glasses?
Yes, ma'am, and broke. Gusted and disgusted and the lack of lessons.
Well, we sure will.
This is Channel One Right on this second reel, the end of the visit of Ms. Guthrie and Marvin, Ms. Mary and Marvin, this Saturday night, the 13th of November 71. Saturday night, the 13th of November 71, the end of the visit with Marvin and Ms. Mary. Ms. Guthrie, this Saturday night, the 13th of November 71. They came over to see us because they thought I'd been sick. Suzanne left word over there.